Exodus chapter 12, starting at verse 3. It says, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, ye shall take it out from the sheep and from the goats. And ye shall keep it, up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two sides of posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it." After verse 8, we're going to skip down to verse 12. "And they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Verse 12. "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both men and beasts, and against all the gods of Egypt, and I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be upon you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood," there's just something about that blood. "When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Verse 22. "And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that it is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two sides posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever." Let's pray. God, we thank you for this privilege and this opportunity tonight. God, use your servant, I pray, God, in the name of Jesus. Let your word fall upon good ground tonight, we pray, oh God. We give it the glory, we give it the honor, we give it the praise. In the name of Jesus, God, have your way, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated tonight. Glory to God. I want to use for a subject tonight, the blood still works. The blood still works. You see, God had given his people during that time instructions. It was instructions that was going to avoid a disaster in their very own lives. It was during the time that the children of Israel was in bondage to Egypt. They had been there for some 400 years, but God was getting ready to set them free. And the Bible says that he had hardened Pharaoh's heart, but I believe that God was proving the point to who God was. And so it came the time when God gave them instruction and said, "I want you to kill a lamb." It had to be a particular lamb. It couldn't be one with blemish or spots. It had to be a lamb without blemish. He said, I want you to take the blood from that lamb and put it upon the doorpost of your houses. Because I'm going to pass through, or going to allow the destroyer to pass through. And I'm going to smite the firstborn of every beast and every creature. You see, there's just something about the blood. There's just something about the blood. And so therefore, the children of Israel, they did exactly what the Lord had told them to do. And it happened exactly like the Lord said it was going to happen. It wasn't long after it began to happen that Pharaoh's heart was softened up and he let the children of Israel go. You see, friend of mine, there's something about the blood. The blood will set you free. There's power in the blood. And I'm talking about the blood of an unblemished lamb. A lamb that took away the sins of the world. Jesus, when John the Baptist saw him coming on the scene, he said, behold, the lamb will take away the sins of the world. You see, he was sacrificed once. He didn't have to be sacrificed again. You see, when Jesus Christ came and he laid himself upon that cross, or allowed him to be crucified, he did away with the law dispensation. You see, under the law dispensation of time, let me lay this foundation real quick. It took the priest and the high priest to offer up sacrifices for the sins of the people. And what that would do, it would roll the sins of the people ahead, and they wouldn't be held accountable for what they had done. It would roll their sins ahead for 1 year. And the Bible, you know, it goes way back further than under the law dispensation of time. Because you find where Adam and Eve had sinned and disobeyed God, that they had hid themselves from the presence of God. They had covered themselves with leaves and tried to hide themselves because they never knew that they weren't wearing any clothes. But you see, God had a plan even with Adam and Eve. The leaves did not do the job that it took for the sin they had committed. You see, God slew two animals and took their fur and put it upon Adam and Eve. But I can't help but to believe that it required blood for the sin to be removed. Well, right along with Cain and Abel, the Bible said that Cain, he slew his brother because of what he had done. But Abel, the Bible says, offered a more excellent sacrifice unto the Lord. That sacrifice that Abel had offered up to the Lord had blood running through its veins. And I can't help but to believe in the process of time as the kids grew up, Cain and Abel, that Adam and Eve taught them to say, when you offer up a sacrifice to the Lord, it's got to be a blood sacrifice. Pardon me, but let me kind of interpret that a little bit. Because you see, God accepted Abel's sacrifice, but he rejected Cain's. He rejected Cain out of, even though Cain gave him the best of his field. He gave him the best of what he had growing in that field, but it wasn't acceptable enough to God. The scripture says to present your body a living sacrifice. God is looking for somebody that's going to jump in 100%. He wants you to give everything unto him. He wants every drop of blood that flow through your veins. Oh, friend of mine, the blood still works. Hallelujah to God. It doesn't matter what sin you have committed. It doesn't matter what you have done in your lifetime. The God that I serve can still forgive you. He can lift you up above your situation. He can, oh, friend of mine, he can forgive you. You see, because the blood still works. And you find in the scriptures when the priests offered up the sacrifices, they were given specific instructions on what to do with the blood. The blood was not wasted when they offered up the sacrifices. As a matter of fact, it was the high priest that was allowed to go beyond the veil. There was priests that offered up the sacrifice at the brazen altar, but then there was the high priest that can go to the very presence of God and offer up a sacrifice. You see, but that priest, they say, when he went before the presence of God, his garment was one that had, when he walked, he had bells around the bottom of his garment, and he had a rope tied around his ankle. Because if he went in the very presence of God to offer up a sacrifice, and he had sin in his life, God will kill him right on the spot. Because God does not tolerate sin. Sin is one of the greatest things that will separate you from God himself. God does not like it when a person practices sin. There's a difference when you make a mistake and you fall into sin. But when you practice sin day in and day out, it displeases God. And oh, friend of mine, if you want to please God, you got to eliminate sin out of your life. You got to wipe it all the way out. You can't toy around with it. You can't play with it. You can't let it be a part of you. You can't make excuses for it. You got to eliminate it. Because sin, the wind will separate you from the very presence of God. It was the sin of disobedience that had gotten a hold to Adam and Eve. It was the sin of disobedience that got a hold to King Saul. You see, his position did not keep him from the judgment of God. The judgment of God came upon him because he offered up a sacrifice, and it wasn't his place to do so. It was time for the evening sacrifice, but he stepped out of his role when he offered up that sacrifice. It was not his place to do that. He should have waited for Samuel before he did that. It wasn't his place to offer up that sacrifice. But because he did, he disobeyed, and God rejected him because of his disobedience. Don't toy around with being disobedient to God. You got to be obedient to him. You got to allow God to be a part of your life. You got to do what he say, not do what you want. Because when you live for God, he wants you to commit everything to him. Oh, somebody give him some praise. Hallelujah to God. You see, the life is in the blood. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. You know, you get to thinking sometimes that the life of the flesh is the heartbeat, but it's not. It's the blood. It's the blood that keeps the heart going, because the heart is the instrument that keeps the blood pumping through the body. But did you ever notice where the blood circulation begins to stop to flow through a certain part of that body? That body, that part has to be taken off because it will contaminate the rest of the body. Oh, follow me tonight, church. I'm going somewhere, because the blood still works. Hallelujah. I said the blood still works. Works. It's a weapon that God has given us that you don't get to use it too often. You don't think about it as often as you should. But there's power in the blood. I said there's power in the blood. Well, you go to talking about the blood of Jesus and he shows up. You go to talking about the blood of Jesus, oh friend of mine, the enemy gets scared, because there's power in the blood, and it'll never ever lose its power. Oh, somebody clap their hands to the Lord. Woo! Oh, there's just something. I know we talk about the name a lot. Oh, but there's just something about the blood. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it unto you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that make an atonement for your soul. Atonement. What that mean? I'm so glad you asked. I happen to have it right here. The atonement means it's the doctrine concerning the reconciliation and human mankind. It's especially as accomplished through life, sufferings, and the death of Christ. So in other words, it's what God has established. See, when Adam and Eve had committed what they did, it was animals killed. But what that did, it allowed them to be reconciled back to with God. Even though they had to pay the price for what they had done, God still loved them. No matter, I mean, because he allowed them, when he kicked them out of the Garden of Eden because they had messed up, but yet he still loved them. He didn't curse them for what they had done, but he still loved them. because the blood stood between them and God. Oh, I said the blood stood between them and God. Oh, friend of mine, the devil knows exactly who you are because you got the blood of Jesus applied to your life. When you went down in that watery grave in the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus was applied to your life. Don't kid yourself. That water is just not water, but it's the representation of the blood of Christ. And when you got the blood of Jesus, when you got the blood of Jesus applied to your life, you're no longer the property of the enemy, but God has put his stamp upon you, and your sins are washed away.
Thank you, Jesus.
As a matter of fact, the scripture says this. He says, but one of the soldiers with the spear pierced his side, and forthwith came out blood and water. That was very, very significant. You know, they try to explain it away through medical terms, and there's a word that they're using. Trust me, it was a tongue tie for me, so I didn't try to remember it. But there's a medical term for it. They tried to explain what happened to Jesus when he was crucified. But I can't help but to believe when that blood and that water happened, it came out of him, that he was sending a message to this world and to his people. There was a purpose that blood and water came out of his side. You see, that water signifies, I better get back to my notes. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but that water signifies the blood of Jesus. You see, some 2,000 years ago, there came one by the name of Jesus. He came on the scene, and John the Baptist saw him and said, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. It only had to be one lamb, one sacrifice that did that. You see, when he died at Calvary, he did away with the law dispensation. When he died, he spoke those words and said, it is finished. And the enemy thought, I got him now. But what God was doing was bringing about a better covenant. He was making it easier for mankind to come to him. He was opening up a door that no man could open and no man could shut. But it took the blood sacrifice to come and create a door where all of mankind can get in the very presence of God. You see, under the law of dispensation, only the priest was allowed to go beyond the veil. Oh, the scripture says, when he died upon that cross, the Bible says that the tent was rent. It was torn from the top to the bottom. You know what that did? That opened up the door for you, for me, for all of us to get in the very presence of God. Hallelujah. Oh, and God, he won't reject us. Oh, no, we don't have to confess to the priest anymore. We can go right before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and confess to him.
Amen.
Somebody said, but what about the thief on the cross? What about him? Huh? He made it to heaven. Yeah, he did. You know why? Because there was still, before Jesus died, they were still under the law dispensation. And his sacrifice was right there beside him. He didn't have to be baptized. He was under a different dispensation of time. But when Jesus spoke the words and said, it is finished, then it was required for all of mankind to be baptized. Everybody had to go that route. Oh, friend of mine, don't deny the blood. Don't allow the blood not to be a part of your life, because the blood will set you free. The blood will make you whole. The blood will give you direction. The blood will, oh, friend of mine, somebody shout, because the blood has set me free. Hallelujah to God. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. You see, the blood and the water that flowed out of it were significant. They signified two great benefits, which all believers partake of through Christ. Blood was for atonement. Check this one out. Water for purification. Whew. You know what happens when you get baptized? Your sins are put in the sea of forgiveness. He don't remember them anymore. He forgives you of what you've done. But Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Why? In the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission of sins, for the removal of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said, for the promise is unto you and to your children, and for those that are far off. Oh, friend of mine, don't tell me that you don't know how to get to heaven. You know how to get there if you listen to the word of God, because he's given us specific instructions to follow. And when the high priest will go in and offer up their sacrifice of blood to the Lord, that seat of judgment becomes a seat of mercy. Because God, there was just something about that blood that would change his mind about what he intended to do to those people. And the priest, the Bible says, would dip his finger in the blood and it would sprinkle it upon the mercy seat. He would do this about 7 times in a day. And when he was done, what it would do would roll the sins of the people ahead. But I'm so glad. You know, you need to read. I'll recommend this for reading today. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. It talks about God providing a better covenant for this world. And it really explains it. In Hebrews chapter 9. You know, I've read that chapter over and over again, but when I read it this weekend, it really stuck out to me how that God knew exactly what he was doing. He came to offer up a better covenant, a better sacrifice, a better way for mankind to get to him. He did not want it to be complicated for you to come to him. He didn't say you had to jump over 20 fences and bite your horse and bite your neighbor and kick the dog to get to him. But he made a way for you to get to him when he died at Calvary. The Bible said that the tent was rent. And there's not a sin that God would not forgive you of unless you blaspheme the Holy Ghost. If you long as you don't blaspheme the Holy Ghost, he will forgive you. Because the blood is powerful. The blood would do the job. Well, oh, the blood will set you free. Oh, friend of mine, God has taken away every excuse that we can put up and allowed us to experience the blood. Because when the blood is applied to your life, you got something. You got something that the devil can't have. You got something that the angels can't have. You got something, oh, friend of mine, that'll make you, to be the child of God that you're supposed to be.
Right. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Purification. The process of making something or someone clean to free from guilt or evil. To be free from that. You remember the guilt you used to have before you came to God? I used to say, God, there's got to be something better than this. There's got to be something, there's got to be better to life than this. I was sick and tired, Brother Ryan, of doing the things that I was doing. And God began to deal with me in that process of time. And he led me back to where I should be, and that was the church. And he began to give me revelations and help me understand that if I would allow him to work in my life the way he wants to. You see, too many times people come to God and they look for prosperity. That's not what God is all about. He's about promoting. That's what God wants to do. He wants to pick you up from the muck and the mire of this world and show you that there's hope and there's life in him. There's no other way that it happens. It happens no other way but to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, friend of mine, the songwriter pinned down those words just right when he said, only Jesus can satisfy your soul. You see, he did that on purpose. He allowed there to be an empty spot inside of you because only he himself can heal you. He himself can fill that empty spot. Because he wants to let you to know that I am God and there is none else. Because me, there is no other Savior. God provides a way for mankind to come to him. But you got to come by the way of the blood. You got to allow the blood to be applied to your life. You got to let your sins be washed away. Because when your sins are washed away, friend of mine, when you have been forgiven of everything that you ever done in your body, you got to, oh, friend of mine, when God forgive you, you got to forgive yourself. Don't let that guilt keep you down, but know that the Holy Ghost will set you free. To know that the Holy Ghost will give you what you take, what it takes. You have to know that the blood has washed away your sins. And when your sins are washed away, you can walk around without the guilt and the shame of sin, because God has set you free. Hallelujah to God. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Oh, friend of mine, nothing but the blood of Jesus. You see, the devil will tear your life apart. He'll think you'll give you the thinking that there is no hope in this world. But there is hope as long as there's Jesus Christ. There's Jesus Christ, you have hope. And that hope one day will take you out of here. In the scripture it says, oh, how precious is the flow. Woo! That makes me whiter than snow. No other fountain I know. Nothing, nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. You see, the life is in the blood. There's just something about the blood. It'll reach to the highest mountain. And it'll flow to the lowest valley. It'll pick you up no matter where you at. There's something about the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood that saved me. Oh, come on, somebody. One day I was lost, but he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood that saved me. Woo! And you wonder why I act the way I act when I come to church, and you ask me why I get radical about the things of God, because the blood has set me free. Scripture says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You see, you got to look out, devil, look out. Not only do I come at you in the name of the Lord, but I've been covered by the blood. You didn't hear me. I said, I've been covered by the blood. So I don't have to worry about what you do to me. I don't have to worry about how you try to destroy me. All I got to do is focus in on the Lord Jesus Christ. All I have to do is remind myself that I'm covered by the blood. You know, they know who we are. Don't kid yourself. They see us walking down the streets of Santa Maria and Orchid, Nipomo, San Luis Obispo. They point at us and say, there go one of them Pentecostals. Make them understand that we have been washed, that we have been changed, that we have been sanctified. And it ain't going to be long. We're going to be glorified. They see us walking around. Oh, there's another one over there. You see how they dress? Don't be ashamed of the way you dress. Let's glorifying God. And they point us out when we go over here, and they point us out over there. But one of these days, because we've been dipped in the blood, I said one of these days, because we've been dipped in the blood, they're going to say, there went them Pentecostals, because this whole world is not our home. We're just passing through. Woo! I'm so glad that one of these days we're going to be get out of here. And this old say, well, goodbye to this old world. Goodbye. Hallelujah to God. And the scripture says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood, there's no remission without the shedding of blood. That's it. But Jesus Christ came and he shed his blood. Guess what happens? There's remission. You know what he did? You know why we don't have to offer up blood sacrifices no more? Because he was the ultimate supreme sacrifice. No more sacrifice had to be offered up when he said it is finished. He said, I'm going to raise a people, hallelujah, that's going to get dipped in my blood one of these days. You see, the water and the blood are significant, but they're a light. You cannot have one without the other, because that water, when you go down in the name of Jesus, it's the representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's when you baptize in Jesus' name, you see, that's why you can't use. Oops. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are not names. Those are titles to his name. Hello? His name is Jesus. That's why it's so important to get baptized in Jesus' name. Because when you do, your sins are washed away. And you don't have to get baptized once. You don't have to go back and do it again if you blow it. All you got to do is go back and pick up repentance. You see, the blood works. I said the blood works. Sometimes you can't get the name out. You just got to plead the blood. You got to plead the blood of your situation. I plead the blood. You get to talking about the blood and all of a sudden you feel something go up and down your backbone, because the blood still flows. The blood still sets you free. Hallelujah to God. Oh, I said the blood. It'll never ever lose its power. Oh, there's just something about that blood. It's precious blood. It's blood from an unspotted lamb. It's, oh, he was without spot, without blemish, and he came and offered up himself.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
For the sins of the world. And because he did, he don't have to come back and do it again. That one time was sufficient enough. You see, God saw from the very beginning of time what it was going to take to get mankind closer to him. He's seen that sacrifices of animals just wasn't getting the job done. It only lasted for 1 year and it had all to be done again. So he provided himself a sacrifice. For the scripture says, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversations received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as the lamb without spot, without blemish. Whew. You see, he had a purpose when he went to Calvary. The devil thought he was destroying him, but he was making it easier for us to get to him. He was opening up a door that hadn't been opened yet. But you know what's happening in our world today? This whole dispensation of grace that we're under now today is coming to an end. When there's coming a day, it's going to be done all over again. And he's going to usher in his millennial reign. And I don't know what's going to happen during be happening. The Bible really doesn't talk about, you know, it mentions some things about what's going to happen during that time. But whether mankind or what's going to be happening, it doesn't really say what he's going to require for people to be saved. But I do know that he's coming back, and he's coming back for redeemed people. Oh, I got a reason to be happy tonight. I got a reason to shout the victory. I got a reason to walk with my head up, because, oh, I've been dipped in the blood. Hallelujah, Sister Julie. Oh, I might fight sometimes. I might struggle sometimes with this old flesh and remind my flesh. But you've been dipped in the blood of Jesus Christ. And I can get up from where I'm at. And I get down on my knees and begin to pray and ask God to help me. We serve a God that's right there on the scene to get me to where I need to go. Oh, but you got to pray. You can't leave prayer out of the equation. The scripture says, I'm going to invite the musicians to come because I'm almost done. I knew I wasn't going to be that long tonight. Scripture says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. But it didn't stop there. It says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And I like that word. You see the word with the S-E-T-H on the end of it? Anytime you almost see the word like that in the Bible, that means it's a continuation. It's not an end to it. And so his blood cleanses us throughout our whole life. So if we blow it and we make a mistake, we can come back and throw ourselves in the mercy seat of God. And because we're covered by the blood, he's more than willing to forgive us. That's why he left repentance here. We don't have to. I know that, I better be careful what I say. I know that there's some rigid religions that still teach that you have to confess to the priest. But they missed the point because that was done away with at Calvary. We don't have to confess to the priest no more. We can go straight to the throne of God. We don't have to pay penance no more. We don't have to go, oh, I'm going to get myself in trouble. You don't have to pay penance in order for God to forgive you. All you got to do is get down on your knees and get to the throne. Because when the tent, the Bible says, was rent, he says, I'm opening the door now for mankind to get in my presence. And the only thing that requires for you to be in his presence, check this out. The only thing that he requires for you to get in his presence is repentance. And that's just having a decision within your heart and your life to go a different direction than the way that you've always been going. It's time for a change. It's not complicated. He doesn't make it hard for you to try to figure it out. You don't have to beat yourself up against the wall, beat your head against the wall to try to figure it out. God, what I need to do? No. All you got to do is repent of your sins. You know, and repentance is simply doing an about face and going in a different direction. While the enemy try to draw you to go this way to the, and somebody said, but what's this way? To the club. Uh-oh. Where'd that come from? Rather than going to the club, I'm going to go to church. That's an about face. Hallelujah to God. Whether you go drinking with the friends, I'm going to go hang out with some saints. Rather than go smoke a joint, I'm just going to go fellowship and have a good time with the people of God. Because I know if I can get around the people of God. You see, the blood don't quit flowing. The blood consistently flows. Did you know if the blood quit flowing in your body, you would die? You know, and when you go to the doctors and you're sick, one of the first things the doctor do, he draw your blood. You know why? They can look at the blood and tell exactly, almost get it right every time, what's happening with your body. Everything flows through the blood. Do you know that even the body itself, because the blood flows and you have a thing called the liver, the blood picks up all of the foreign objects or the diseases that flow in your body. And what it does, it directs it down through the liver and the kidneys. And the kidneys get rid of the excess waste. But the liver contains all the diseases and pushes it out of your body. That liver inside of your body has a function. But it protects you. There's just something about the blood. But yeah, if that blood quit flowing inside of you, or if you lose too much blood, you kick the bucket. That's why it's so important when you come up with someone that's wounded in an accident or so. One of the first things they do if they're bleeding, they try to stop the blood flow. You see, because the blood still works. Because they know as long as they can contain that blood within you, there's more likely that your life will be preserved. So they have to stop the flow. But when you talk about the blood of Jesus, whoo-hoo, it's spiritual. Mm-hmm. Oh, friend of mine, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, how precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So that's why it's so important to get baptized in Jesus' name. You see, if you do it in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you just go down a wet center, dry center, and come up a wet one. But when you use the name, your sins are washed away. It clears your conscience. You can get from that water and know that you've done it the way the Bible says had done. Somebody want to get baptized tonight? We got the water ready back there. All you got to do is repent of your sins. Get baptized in Jesus' name. He'll set you free. He'll cover you with his blood. Hallelujah. You're no longer the property of the enemy. You'll become the property of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you've done it the way the Bible says to do it. And when you do it the way the Bible says to do it, the enemy cannot take that away from you. And you see, the blood is an everlasting covenant. When you dipped in the blood, it covers you the rest of your life. You see, Revelation says this, and I'm going to hurry. No, actually, John, check out John. He said there are three that bear witness in earth. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. You know what it says about those three, though? It said these three agree in one. You can't have one without the other. They have to be together. No. The blood is represented by the water. And the scripture says, he said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. He said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And then also, and they overcame him, meaning the enemy. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives even unto death. You see, it took the blood of an unspotted lamb to protect the children of Israel. And you know what it takes in this day? The blood of the Lamb to protect his people. Hallelujah to God. Shall we stand tonight? Somebody wants to be baptized tonight. We got a robe for you. And I promise you, you'll say these words to yourself. Why didn't I do it sooner? But there's something about when you come up out of that watery grave, you know your sins has been forgiven. You feel a cleansing. Actually, you experience a cleansing when you come out of the water. You feel clean, not just on the outside, but you feel clean in your heart. Because what God does, He wipes away all that sin. And He covers you with His blood. I'm going to go ahead and open up the altar. And let come and pray tonight. Let God touch you tonight. There's just something about that blood.
Same blood.
That same blood.